I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're starting off in Valla Beach, and I'll be chatting with a solo traveller, a lovely lady. Her name's Donna, and she's travelling solo, towing her own caravan.
Oh, I'm impressed. I take my hat off to her, that's for sure.
Not something you do, Lynn, no, tow your own caravan.
Definitely not. And then we're going to catch up with Paul and Leanne. Now, they're volunteers at Charlotte Plains.
Absolutely. And what a fantastic place to volunteer
at. Yes, I know. Oh, I've got to do that.
We're going to have to do that. I've got to tell you. And straight after that, I'll be chatting with Jeff DF, the regular on the show, and he's going to be discussing speed whilst towing your caravan.
Yes, which some people don't know what speed to do.
Absolutely. Very confusing subject for some people. So apart from all these wonderful discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So what do you think, Lynn? On with the show. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Roaming Oz. This is Phil C, and we are in Valla Beach Tourist Park, and I'm chatting with Donna from Why Young. How are you today, Donna?
I'm very well, thank you. I would like it was a bit warmer.
A bit warmer?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's all right. It's better than it is at home.
Fabulous. Now, tell us, where is Why Young? It sounds like in China. Where is Why Young?
It's in Victoria.
Okay.
Near Bairnsdale, Lakes Entrance. Lovely area. Quite a good climate.
Right.
Yes.
Now, the reason for me wanting to chat with you today is, and I will say your age, because I did ask if I could, you're 72 years young. And you're a solo traveller towing a caravan. Now, how long have you been doing this? Because we don't see or I don't chat with a lot of ladies that actually tow caravans.
Well, I think actually that it was around about 2014, it might be, when I decided I wanted to go caravanning.
Right.
I've done a lot of travel overseas and all, but I thought now it's time to see the country. Uh-huh. I gave up work in 2013 and went looking for a little caravan that was suitable for me that would be towed by just a small car. So I have a Mazda 6.5 diesel. I needed a toilet and shower.
Yep.
I didn't want anything that I had to stop and put up and put together.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes, and so this was ideal. I saw it at Melbourne at the caravan show, but actually bought it when they came up to Bairnsdale, put a deposit on having one built.
Okay. Now, just for the listeners, it's called a Carra Camper, K-A-R-A-K-A-M-P-A.
Yes.
Carra Camper, right. And it's number 67 off the lot.
It is.
And it's a beautiful, it's a caravan. I wouldn't call it a camper. When people talk about campers, I think canvas sides, a tent with wheels. This is actually quite a cute little home you've got here. You've got two single beds in here.
Yes.
As you said before, you've got a shower and toilet, which is a definite necessity for a female to have.
Absolutely. You don't want to go out at night being on your own.
No. Mm. And it's got a fridge, and you've got your cooktop, and you've got air conditioning.
I have.
So you've got everything you need. Now, do you normally travel solo, or do you normally travel with other people, other family members or friends?
A lot of my trips I've done have been with my sister. She would come away with me. We did a lot of travel long before this overseas and all, and she'd go with me and her husband would stay home and look after the cats.
Okay.
So, yeah.
She had him trained well.
She did. She did, well and truly. And then if she didn't want to go or could think, oh, I better not go this time, I would go on my own for part of the thing and she would fly up and meet me, which she did one time up to Tweed Heads, met me there, and then we went up right around up north and across and down through the centre.
Okay. How long was that trip? How long was that trip?
8 weeks, I think.
Okay.
That one.
Right. And how
long,
what's the longest you've been travelling, with somebody or by yourself?
With Nola, and then there were another two couples that went with us as well in their caravans, and we went right across the Nullarbor and over to the west and right along the bottom, and then the other two couples had to come home, but Nola and I continued on. We went up to Geraldton and, yes, and went out back east a little bit around, had a look around all there, and then to Waves Rock and Coolgoolie. And
gee.
Yeah, absolutely so, love it.
Absolutely. And you've seen some countryside.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Is this something that you used to do? Because I know you mentioned you're widowed.
Mm-hmm.
With your husband, did he teach you to caravan?
Oh, or gosh, no. Well, we had four young children, 14 to 8.
Right.
When he passed away, we always planned that we would travel and do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that didn't happen. Right. And why should I not do it? Because I'm on my own.
I agree 100% with you, and I take my hat off to you. Now, what about your four kids? You've got two sons and two daughters.
Yes.
Four in total. How do they feel about you travelling alone?
They think it's wonderful. Originally, my eldest daughter was a little bit worried about it.
Okay.
Oh, Mum, go and do this course and go, no, I can back a trailer, so... Yes, and all this sort of thing. But now they just love for me to get out on the road.
Absolutely.
And, of course, with FaceTime and everything and the internet, they're in contact all the time.
All the time. Yes. So they don't worry. They're quite jealous and envious.
I think so.
Their time will come,
that's
Donna.
What I keep telling them, yes.
You said you can back a trailer. Like, did you have anybody to teach you? Because, as I said, it's not often I see single ladies or ladies. You
this
know?
Is easier to back than a trailer is, actually.
Okay.
Because
you can see where it's kind of going.
It's trial and error. The worst times is when... there's some men standing around and watching, and that's when I make a lot of mistakes.
Okay.
But most caravan parks, you'll find somebody that will come and help you if the nerves get too much.
Yes.
But I can put it on and off and everything myself. I don't need any help with any of that.
Have you ever had any fellas sort of come over and say, oh, let me give you a hand with that
Yes.
Love? Step aside, doll, and let a fella show you how it's done.
Well, I have a lot of advice when I was first doing it of you should do this, you should do that, you need to have this or something or other. And I took a lot of notice, and yes, some of it I agreed with, other I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So I've got to ask the obvious question. When you are travelling solo and you're by yourself in here because you've got a couple of beds for when your sister travels with you, do you ever get lonely? Do you ever think, oh, gee, I wish my sister was with me? Or because you're by yourself, I mean.
I'm by myself, but I'm by myself at home as well. So, you know, it isn't all that much difference, and there's a lot to see, and I don't mind going off on my own, looking at things, park the caravan and just go off in the car and explore. I've done a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do love it when my sister comes,
right.
But you can't always have what you want.
No.
And, you know, there's always people around a caravan park that you can have a little chat to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you go and lock yourself in the caravan when you don't want to talk to anyone anymore.
When you want your own space, understand 100%. Now, what about free camping? Because do you ever get fearful or because the caravan's not really designed for free camping, but you do have a couple of batteries, you've got gas for your fridge and your stove. Do you do a little bit of free camping or mainly caravan parks?
Mainly caravan parks, but I have a few times stopped where there's other caravans. Mainly if you're sort of more on the road heading home or heading somewhere you don't want to stay too long.
Yep.
But often I just go into a caravan park and see if I can get a drive-through to leave the caravan
on.
Yes. But the free cabs these days, they're pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't go in where there was only one or two.
Yep.
It's usually there's a few around and they're fine.
Yep. Yeah. So you've never felt threatened or intimidated out there? You just pick where you stay.
Yeah.
Common sense. You don't stay if you're the only caravan there.
We actually stayed in a few free caravan parks as we were going across up north, heading across to Longreach.
Okay.
There was there was one that was a farm at a lake. I cannot remember the name of the place at the moment, but you just went down through the fence and there was a stack of free campers there. And yep. We hitched and there was people all around the lake. Went off into town. It was actually at Mount Isa, just out of Mount Isa. Okay. So, yeah.
So some of the trips you've done, like either by yourself or with your sister, where have you actually been since you've been travelling? Off the top of your head, yeah.
Oh, Mount Isa, Alice Springs, right down through, you've put me on the spot, Adelaide, going right down through the centre. Uh-huh. And stopping at all the little places on the way.
Okay.
Right up north, but all around Tassie with another couple. I followed them around and that was wonderful.
How long did you go to Tasmania for? Because I'm actually going there next year myself.
I think it was 3 weeks.
Okay.
Not long enough. You need a lot more time, but we had 3 weeks and that was good, you know, really good. But I'd love to go back.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place, Tassie.
Well, I'll be there next year for 6 months.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely magnificent. Mm. So with this trip now that we're at Valor Beach, how long did it take you to get from Waiyung to here? How long did you give yourself?
Well, I actually went to Pambula first, which is on the coast down near Marimbula. And my sister came down and had 2 nights there with me because she's just up the mount. An hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I came to Naruma.
Yes.
Or Shell Harbour, actually. Shellhaven. Shellhaven.
Yes.
And had a couple of nights there and then to Manning Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of nights there because I was exhausted by then getting through city.
Uh-huh.
And then to Harrington. It was lovely there. And again, I stayed 3 nights there, I think. Okay. Then I came on to the farm. I have in-laws at Maxville, just out of on a farm there. So I had done from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we came out here Monday.
Okay.
And I'm staying here till next Monday.
Oh, wow. So you got another week.
Oh, no.
Oh, Nick, this coming Monday, so a couple of days.
Yes.
Okay, so where are you heading to from here?
I don't know.
No destination?
I want to get up to go to Tweed Heads and see an old friend there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go up to Scarborough because I've often thought of going. I haven't stayed there because my daughter lived in Brisbane the last time we were up. I'd like to go to Harvey Bay.
Harvey
Bay, because I haven't been there and everybody goes saying how lovely it is.
It is a lovely spot.
I don't really know this time. I've just left home and I don't know how long for.
Okay. You've got no actual time that you really need to be home, so you're pretty much just flying on your heels.
I am.
With a dartboard of a map of Australia and where it lands could be where you end up.
Exactly.
Have you got any advice or anything you would like to say to any of the solo lady travellers like that might be thinking, oh, gee, I'd love to do that, but I don't know, I'm worried about it? Or
don't be afraid. Mm. Anything, you can do anything if you really want to, and you just have to be. You take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always plenty of people around and out to help you if you need that help.
Fabulous.
Mm.
It's been wonderful talking with you, Donna. I take my hat off to you. 72 years young. And I say young because you're obviously young at heart. You've got a good spirit there. You're just travelling by yourself, towing a caravan. You've had no major issues, and I don't imagine you will have any major issues. You obviously thought it out well. And your children are supporting you, or they obviously
wonderful,
young adults now.
Yes.
They're supporting you, and
my 8 grandchildren.
And your 8 grandchildren. So, have you ever had the urge to ever want to bring away one of the grandkitties?
I would love it if they came with me.
You would.
Yes, I actually, one of the grandchildren used the caravan. I took it down to Geelong only just before Christmas. He had a placement down there for work.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed with him a week and then he kept the caravan there for 3 weeks. Then I went back. He was doing a placement in aged care.
Uh-huh.
And I just love being with the kids. And if they'd come, well, I've done a few where they've come and stayed in the annex or.
Yep.
Yeah.
So rather the grandkids than the pets?
I definitely tried once with a dog.
Okay.
And it was a Welsh Terrier, and he kept running away, chasing everything.
Okay. So that was pretty stressful. No more four-legged fur babies.
No, not for me. Okay. Not for me.
So there you go, ladies. If you're thinking of doing it, maybe consider a grandchild rather than a grandpet.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to have to wind this up now, Donna. Can I play you an Australian song? Have you got a famous or a favourite Australian singer that you might like?
Yes, Darryl Braithwaite.
Braithwaite?
Horses.
The Horses.
I love that.
It's a fabulous song.
It is
a beautiful song. All right, well, stick around, listeners, for more of Roaming Oz. We're going to be straight back after Darryl Braithwaite's The Horses. Thank you so much for your time, Donna.
Thank you.
Situation should keep us separated. You know the world won't fall apart, and you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart.
Be
loved.
G'day, Phil C here, and this is Raymond Oz if you've just joined us, and I am currently at Charlotte Plain chatting with two of the volunteer workers here, Paul and Leanne. How are you going today, Leanne?
I'm well, thanks, Phil. How are you?
I'm really good. And you, Paul?
Much the same. I'm well too.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about yourselves, guys. First of all, Leanne, I'll ask you, you're originally from Victoria.
Yes.
And you've been travelling now for a number of years, about 6 or 7 years.
Correct.
Okay. What was the idea of the travelling for you, and how did you first react when Paul said, we're going to hit the road for the next 6 or 7 years?
Well, it was actually Paul came home one day and said he was going to retire.
Okay.
And I wasn't ready.
Right.
And so it took me a little while to come to terms with retiring.
Right.
And as part of the deal almost was, well, if we're going to retire and travel, how about we find some work?
Okay.
As volunteers somewhere along the way.
Okay.
That's what we did.
Okay, but hang on, Paul, you wanted to retire.
That's dead right. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
Okay, but we're just saying here that you wanted to retire. Leanne said, no, we have to work.
Well, I had an arm up her back and to encourage her to retire.
Okay.
So it worked, you know, okay. She retired.
Fabulous. But the thing is, we arrived here the other day. Leanne was over in the hot spas. I should just mention where we are, listeners. We're at Charlotte Plain and they've got thermal baths here. Leanne, you were in the tub, is that right?
I was.
And you saw us driving in. She leapt out of the tub, quickly threw a towel around herself and ran across the road, and I thought, I'm about to hit this insane woman. So what were you doing, Leanne? Like,
well,
you're having a bath and all of a sudden...
It's part of my job.
Part of your job. So tell us your duties, first of all, Leanne. Okay. What do you do here as a volunteer at Charlotte Plain?
So my job is basically to meet and greet people.
Okay.
Make people as comfortable as we can.
Uh-huh.
Just help solve any issues, help them with any information.
Okay.
And Paul can tell you what he does.
So, Paul, what's your duty?
My duties are many.
Okay.
First of all, I do all the rubbish.
Okay.
Firewood for the night.
Yep.
Clean the odd toilet.
Okay.
And just generally help people, just like Leanne.
Right.
And today I'm picking up a lot of bits and pieces laying around, bits of paper and so forth to make it look respectable.
Okay.
So that's basically what I do.
Mow the lawns.
Heck yes.
You wouldn't think mowing lawns, because I should explain, with Charlotte Plain, this is actually a property. It's a private property. It's a cattle and sheep station. Yet you have to mow the lawns?
That's right. Surprising, isn't it?
It is surprising. Surprising.
But I reckon the mower's got one blade missing. I tend to miss a lot of grass.
All right. So apart from working here as volunteers, you guys have done volunteer work at a lot of places.
Correct.
Over the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your first experience. Should I ask Paul or you, Leanne, this one? Because this, Leanne, Paul's pointing at Leanne. Leanne, tell us about your first experience as a volunteer.
Okay, so the first one we applied, and it was another station in Northern Territory.
Okay.
Called Red Gum.
Right.
And it's 250, 300 kilometres northeast of Alice Springs.
Right.
It's a quite remote.
Okay.
Up the Sanderland Highway, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And Paul had a building job, so Paul was a builder.
He had
a building job of what he thought was one shower and one toilet, or two toilets, two showers.
Right.
Well, it was much larger than that.
It certainly grew.
And what did it turn into, a 10-star resort with 20 bathrooms?
Oh, not quite that big,
but,
no.
Yeah. But it was big.
It was big enough, yeah.
Okay.
So we had to mix the concrete by hand, because you're out in the middle of nowhere. All the measurements were taken of the slab, so the shed could be made in town and sent out in bits and pieces.
Yeah, and erected.
And I erected it with the help of a couple of Aboriginal guys.
Okay.
Now, this is volunteer work. Were you getting paid for that volunteer work? Because some volunteers, they give you accommodation for free and so on.
Yeah.
That was a paid one or no?
Yeah.
Pro rata,
yeah.
Sort of a bit of money and a bit of food and a bit of accommodation tossed in.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
Poor old Paul, you ended up with a broken back, mixing concrete by hand.
Well, I didn't actually mix it.
Okay.
I was the lucky one. I just screeded it and so forth, put the levels in, and the other guys did all the mixing.
Okay.
So I was very lucky there.
Okay. But it was very remote, you said, Leanne. So did you think, am I doing the right thing? Should I be actually going out to this remote place?
Not for 1 minute.
No?
No, not for 1 minute.
So how did you find it, guys?
It was on...
As in, how did we enjoy it? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, how did you enjoy it? Because it was very remote, you said. Yeah. And,
well, it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
When we first got there, we thought, oh, am I allowed to swear?
Yes. Sort of. As long as it's not too explicit.
I thought, bloody hell, what have we come to? You know?
Okay. Yep.
Anyway, the owners were great people.
Right.
And they made us feel very welcome from day one.
Uh-huh.
And they had a store there which supplied goods to the Aboriginal people, local people.
Yeah.
And when they first came in to buy stuff, they looked at us, Leanne and I, and...
Being strangers,
and they wouldn't come near us.
Okay.
But it did take a while for them to warm to us.
Yeah.
And when they did, they were friendly.
Fabulous.
And especially the kids, they were great.
Yeah.
You'd muck around with the kids, you know, play footy with them and all that sort of thing to, you know, make them feel as if we're not bad people.
So with this one here at Charlotte Plain, how did you find out about this one? Was it advertised somewhere? Yep. Tell us about that. How did you find out about it?
So there's quite a few groups on Facebook
that
advertise for caretaker, volunteer help, those sorts of things.
Yep.
And there's also a couple of grey nomad job sites as well.
Yep.
So through all of them, I can't remember which one we actually went through, but we just applied and were lucky enough to... be asked to come out and help out.
Yeah. So you've been here now for about a week.
Yep.
And your entire stint's about 4 weeks, is that right, Paul?
About four.
Yes. Yep. Round about, just until the other people come to take our place.
Mm-hmm. So where are you heading from here?
Well, back to check a house out that's being built. So we're heading back towards Brisbane area.
Okay.
And that's where we'll be living.
So you're gonna.
So we're actually relocating.
You're relocating because you've been travelling for 6 years. Is that right? Six, seven years.
No. We've been home in between.
In between, yeah.
Yep. And so we travel for sort of 6, 7, 8 months of the year.
Okay.
And usually pick up at least one of these jobs in that time.
Right.
And so last year we went, look, we're up here all the time. Let's move. So we did.
So what is it for you guys? I'll ask you first, Leanne. What is it for you in relation to volunteering? Because you're not getting really paid, obviously.
No.
You're volunteering. You're doing it, I guess, from the heart. Why is that?
For me, it's a little bit way of giving back.
Okay.
And getting into a community to see how it ticks.
Right.
How hard they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And just try and help them a little bit. I mean, we don't probably contribute much, but we hope every little bit we do helps.
Well, you're doing something. I mean, you leapt out of that bath yesterday to stop me. There's no way I was getting in here for free. And Paul's got the good job. He gets to take away all the rubbish. I saw you driving a bus yesterday, Paul. What was that about?
I'm just multi-skilled.
Okay.
And the first time I drove the bus, I'd never driven anything like that before. And Cam, that's one of the guys here, asked me whether I'd drive the bus, and I said, oh, yeah, I suppose, yep.
Okay.
So you know, I jumped and off I went, and everybody was happy, I didn't crash it too, which was a good thing.
Which was a bonus.
Yeah, big bonus.
So it's a tour, is it?
Yeah.
So you're a tour bus driver as well now.
Yes, I do have another shirt which I put on for the tour bus. It's just green.
Fabulous.
Yes.
So you're not just the garbage collector, you're actually a coach captain.
Well, I did say I was multi-skilled.
Yep. And you do the lawns, greenkeeping.
Yeah, I've probably got about six jobs that I do.
Six different hats.
Six different hats that he wears. So what is it about volunteering for you, Paul?
Well, it's very similar to Leanne. I like to get out into the areas like this where it's very quiet. The scrub is absolutely beautiful to look at, and the birds and animals.
Yep.
And the peace and quiet too, which is great. And a place like this, there's so many people that come and go, and I usually talk to each and every one of them.
Yep.
And they are just fantastic people.
Mm-hmm.
They're friendly. They ask you what you're doing here, and I give them a quick rundown. And that's the sort of thing I enjoy, which is very similar to Leanne.
Yep. And a lot of variety. So how many – you've been travelling like on and off for 6 or 7 years. How many volunteer jobs have you done? You say you do like one each time. just roughly, what other types of volunteering work have you done?
Well, we did a good one early last year, up in south of Townsville, which was on a farm.
Right.
Only a small farm.
Yep.
The owner of the farm had a lot of animals that he used to take around to shows and for kids to look at and play with, etc. And we were left there when he went on his travels, and we just looked after the chooks and ducks and the animals that he left behind, and mowed the grass and watered the lawns, and it was and the rest of the family was there, and they were fantastic people. They just included us into everything they more or less did.
They also had a venue there where they people could hire out for weddings and events and things like that. So we had a couple of weddings and a boxing night. What else have we done? We've been other station stays.
House sits.
Yeah, a few house sits as well along the way. So we've done a good variety.
A good variety of things. So would you recommend this sort of thing to other people that are travelling long periods or that are on the road for a long time?
Absolutely.
If they're inclined like we are, it's a great thing.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, We hope we can get down to Lismore when we get back.
Right.
And try and help out down there if they want anybody to help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of thing we enjoy doing.
Yep.
And it's not about the money. It's about the help you can give other people. Yeah.
Look, it's a fabulous idea, and I guess it works two ways, because you're not getting money as such, but you're staying in a fabulous location, and if you came here as a guest like myself, I think it's about $35 or $38 or something for a double for a night. So there's two of you, so $38 a double times how many nights, you are getting paid in kind.
Yes.
And what you have to do, I don't know if it's that tough. I mean, I think you've got the tough job, Paul, unfortunately.
Most definitely.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that one.
But happy wife, happy life.
Well, that's very true too.
And if all Leanne has to do is sit and enjoy the sun and the ambience of the artesian bath, even if you just have to jump out every now and then and stop the odd vehicle, I think it's pretty good. Although last night you were selling merchandise, because they do have live entertainment here at Charlotte Plain.
Yeah, so the merchandise goes out every night. It's just generally keeping tabs of who's here and who shouldn't be here and all those kind of things.
And it's really just about being friendly and social, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So it's not really hard.
No,
you're that way inclined, it comes easy.
It's a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that there are some of our listeners that might actually feel like coming out here, because they do have a Friends of Charlotte Plain Facebook page. Is that correct?
I think so. Yes.
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 Because I was chatting with Alison earlier. She's she's the tourist manager.
She is.
And she mentioned that there's a Facebook page called Friends of Charlotte Plains.
Yep.
And if you want to do any volunteer work, that's one place you could look.
Definitely.
Fabulous.
Yes, definitely.
So you'd highly recommend it to anybody here?
Yeah, definitely.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And you, Paul?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to wind this up now. You're looking over your shoulder. She's got peripheral vision, this lady. She's like a hawk. Look, there's a vehicle coming in. You better jump up and stop them. Before we wind this up,
there is two.
I got to play an Aussie song. What can I play for you guys?
Song by Ganga Chang.
Okay.
And it's called
Sounds of Then.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the one. All right. We'll be back with more Roman Oz listeners straight after Sounds of Then. Thank you so much, Leanne and Paul.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil.
faces west, long diagonals and sloping too. And in the distance, through the heat haze, in convoys of silence, the cattle graze. A certain texture, that certain beat, brings forth the nighttime heat.
Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Oh, g'day, listeners. Here we go again. This is Raymond Oz, if you've just joined us, and my co-host. I shouldn't say that, should I? Because the last week I said co-host and he was asking for a pay rise. Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm going well, Phil, and yeah, I've cried myself to sleep a few nights over the lack of the pay rise.
But anyway, yes. Lack of pay rise. Well, look, how about if we triple what you're getting now? How would that be?
Yeah, but you doubled it last week and I didn't see any change.
Oh, so
triple it sounds great. Yeah, thank you.
Well, triple it
you're
this
so
week.
Generous, Phil. You're so generous.
All right, we won't even charge a GST. Now, last week we touched on speed. Okay, and you know, how fast should you be travelling when you're towing your caravan? Speed is the subject for today, listeners. Now, tell us what you think about the speed subject, Jeff.
Well, I think speed in Australia in towing is utterly confusing.
Right.
We'll start off with that. Okay, and if you ask 100 people their opinions on speed, I think we'll get 100 different answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought first what we may talk about is the confusing nature of the speed limits within Australia.
Right.
I think that's ultimately part of the problem is mm-hmm. that we have, you know, all these different states and we have different rules. And I think, you know, most of people are generally going interstate now that, you know, the border's not locked down.
Nope.
So you need to be aware that there is different rules within the different states.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about recommended speeds and overtaking and things like that, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and the thing is, just because the sign, I like your saying, Jeff, that weight is it's not a goal, is it? It's not a target you have to achieve. And why should speed be a target? Just because the sign says 110 doesn't mean you have to travel at 110, even if you're towing along a light little box trailer, you know, a light little camper trailer. I mean, why travel just because the sign says you can?
I totally agree. I mean, one of the things that we'll talk about is it's a lot of the rules are driving to the conditions.
Yeah.
And you know, I do a lot of driving up and down the M1, and one of the things that I find is that people just don't drive to the conditions.
No.
You know, you're up around Foster Taree and you get a big downpour. The road becomes, you know, so slippery and so wet,
yeah.
And you'll still have people who think that they can drive at 110.
Mm.
And this is not even talking about towing.
Yes.
You know, just normal people who think they can drive really, really quickly,
yeah.
Because they've got a, you know, a four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm.
It's just that if, you know, you're driving fast in those sorts of conditions, the chance of a problem or an issue,
yes.
is it's fourfold. So, you know, take it a bit easier and make sure you get there.
And of course, the distance required to stop is much greater on a wet, slippery road, isn't it? And they don't give enough distance to either, some people. They're still travelling at the same distance, at the same speed, yet the conditions are so, so different and so dangerous.
The last few months we've had a lot of rain on the coast and we've got a lot of potholes. And one of the things that surprises me all the time is the people that tailgate you on a pothole-y road.
Mm.
And they don't have the time to miss a pothole because they're so close to you that they don't see it.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the point in tailgating? You're not going to get there any quicker.
Yes.
But you've got more likeliness. The likelihood, sorry, of having an accident or hitting a pothole or something is far increased.
Right.
Okay, so do we want to start on these limits?
Absolutely.
So it's a bit technical, and look, I'm going to put a proviso here that this is the information that I've researched from a few different sources.
Right.
It is a bit confusing, so if I've got any of these limits wrong, by all means, send us an email and tell us the correct.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to tell us wrong, make sure you cite a pretty good spot from where we've got the information.
Okay.
So in New South Wales, there is no particular towing limit that applies to the majority of cases. So, and I should say this is towing limits, not towing a caravan.
Okay.
So it applies to, you know, horse floats or, you know, box trailers or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So in New South Wales, the limit or speed limit for towing a van or a vehicle or a trailer is the prevailing speed limit of the road. Along motorways and highway, it is then 100 kilometres an hour. So if the speed limit is 60, your towing limit is 60.
Right.
If the speed limit is 80, it's 80.
Mm.
If the speed limit, though, is 110.
Yes.
And your vehicle is greater than 4.5 tonnes,
right,
or your GPM is greater than 4.5 tonnes, so your combined vehicle and caravan,
yes,
or your vehicle, then you are capped at 100 kilometres an hour.
Wow. Okay. See, a lot of people wouldn't know that. They would just assume, I believe, I could be wrong, but they would just assume that I'm not a truck, I'm a car and a caravan. I can travel at 110. I've had many cars and caravans overtake me when I've been sitting on 95 and disappear into the sunset. They're definitely doing more than 110, you know, or 110 at least.
I've had the same, you know. I've been, and I drive on GPS, you know, because my speedo's out a little bit,
mm-hmm,
and I'll be sitting on 110 and I'll have had vehicles and caravans overtake me, especially on the M1. They seem to be in a hurry to get back to Sydney on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they saw how many speed cameras and police were on that road, they wouldn't speed. But
yes,
it's not about that. It's they're actually doing, if you're doing 115 in 110 zone and you're weigh more than 4.5 tonne, that's 15 over the limit. And if you're on a public holiday, double points, you could actually probably go close to losing your license.
See, I didn't even think of that. I did not even think of it. I'm thinking, oh, it's only 5 kilometres over the limit. The limit's 110, it's 115, it's 5 kilometres. But no, in fact, it's 15 because you should only be doing 100.
That's right.
So where does the weight, what is the weight, just for the benefit of the listeners, because what did you say the weight was again if your gross combination is more than?
4.5 tonnes.
4.5 tonnes. So your average Land Cruiser is like close to 3.5. What's your 200 series? What's the GVM on those things? About 3,300 or something, aren't they?
3,350. So if you're towing a 2-ton camper trailer.
Yes.
You're well over 4.5 tonnes.
Oh, wow. I tell you what, that would be – I think if we surveyed the masses, they would all look at you and go, no way. It's 110. Yeah. I'm only pulling a box trailer with some canvas on the sides, you know. It only weighs 2 tonne because some of those off-road caravans can weigh. I mean, I know I had one. I had a Jayco – I think it was a Flamingo, and that thing came in at over 2 ton with all the gear on it. Wow, that's really interesting. And I guarantee a lot of people wouldn't even be aware of it.
Yeah, so that's why we do these interviews.
Absolutely. Crikeys.
But if you really want to get confused, we'll go around the other states briefly.
Okay.
So in WA, if you're towing, it's 100 kilometres an hour maximum.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what you're towing or what the weight is. I believe it's 100 kilometres an hour maximum.
In WA? For a car, motorcycle, anything?
I don't know about a motorcycle towing, but definitely we're talking about vehicles here.
Okay,
So it's whether you're towing a box trailer or a 3.5-ton caravan, it's 100 Ks.
100 Ks, okay. And that's WA.
Yep, Victoria. Now, Victoria is a bit interesting. There is no set speed limit for towing a caravan, but you're advised to drive to the conditions.
Okay.
So, and that's probably why we see so many Victorians speeding through on their way to Queensland. A, they want to get to warmer weather, but, they don't realise that once they've hit New South Wales that, they're coming up the freeway that it's 100, not 110.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. Queensland's the same. There's no set speed limit in Queensland, different for towing. So in theory, you can do 110 on the Bruce Highway, but I would caution you because where's all the accidents on the Bruce Highway?
On the Bruce Highway.
We've talked about in other shows, the relationship between, bad loading and speed. So the quicker you're going, the more likely you are to have an accident.
Serious accident. Yes, well.
So just because there's 110 doesn't mean you should be doing 110.
No, no. And I saw one on a forum, it was probably about a month ago now, where there was a fellow driving a caravan, because he was the one who put this up, and he said he was doing between 90 and 100. He estimated 95, and a caravan overtook him, and the caravan started to get a bit of a wobble up, and he said the person that was being overtook said in his report that the person tried to drive out of the wobble by accelerating even harder and then totally lost control and went over a guardrail, and the caravan was destroyed, and luckily nobody was seriously injured. But yeah, like, he was doing 110 at least going around this guy that was sitting on 95 by the time he got in front of him and got away, and accelerating harder to try and take back control of the sway, you know. It's a very dangerous business.
I think we need to, debunk that old myth that you can accelerate out of caravan's way.
Okay.
I think it was reported on the project when they were talking about caravan rollovers, and, I've seen various people say, oh, just put your foot down and accelerate. If you're 6 ton driving along a road at 105 kilometres an hour.
Yes.
And you put your foot down, there's nothing going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's literally, what's the most powerful vehicle you've got? and you put your foot down at 110, it takes a while to accelerate.
Okay.
So if you're towing a 3.5-ton caravan and you're all up 6, 6.5 ton,
yep.
There's no way in the wide world that the motor is going to drive you out of caravan sway.
Okay.
It's an old myth from the 70s when, you know, you had a V8 Falcon and a, you know, really light caravan,
yeah.
And you used to put your foot down and drive out of it. Mm. It's dangerous. I mean, most of the videos that you'll see online, I mean, I watched one this morning. I've seen that one that you mentioned, and I've watched one this morning.
Yes.
Where the guy got away at 102 kilometres hour because it was on a dash cam, and he never slowed, and the sway just got worse. Uh-huh. And then he actually did get up to about 103, and that's just when he lost it.
Wow.
So, you know, use your caravan brakes. Do a towing course, learn the correct procedures but trying to drive out of sway, I mean, the guy should have just slowly backed off, slowly applied brakes.
Yes.
And got out of the overtaking manoeuvre.
Yes, yes.
Continuing on when you're overtaking and you're getting sway is asking for trouble, in my opinion.
Yep, yep. I think I guess some people are committed. They commit themselves. They're out there on the wrong side of the road, so they want to get back to the right side of the road as possible. So I guess, you know, let's go faster and get around and get out of here as quick as we possibly can. But for me, I don't understand why anybody would want to be towing a caravan of any sort of weight at 110 kilometres an hour. And you've already said once they exceed that 4-ton, you said it was?
4.5 ton.
Yep, yep. And then you're over the speed limit anyway. And yeah.
And
wow.
It's interesting that we see most of these dash cam accidents that are coming from Queensland in Northern Territory. Because we're in the same Northern Territory, you can drive. There's no specific towing speed limit.
Yes.
So on some highways, it's 130 speed limit.
Wow.
So technically, legally, you could drive at 130, but that's just a ridiculous situation. And anybody who drives at that sort of speed consistently, I think, is asking for an issue.
Yeah,
they'll have an accident at some stage
for sure.
Still going around the states, Queensland. Yeah, we did talk about Queensland.
Yes, we did.
What's really interesting about Queensland is that I believe there is no restrictions on L and P platers towing a caravan and what speed. So how absolute stupid is that?
Yeah.
Is in Queensland, a P plater can tow a caravan at 100 kilometres an hour. In New South Wales, they have to drive at 90.
Mm-hmm. And that's a red P plate we're talking about at 90, isn't it? Because isn't the green P plate 100 kilometres on the green P plate?
Yeah. So theoretically, an L plater can tow a caravan in Queensland.
Wow. That's
interesting that people talk about limits and things, but, you know, that's just ridiculous to me. You're not even experienced driving a car.
No.
You can drive a caravan.
Crazy. So what about the other states? Did you check the other states?
South Australia. So just South Australia, it's towed to the speed limit.
Yes.
And conditions. It's going to the road conditions and the supposed to the speed limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only one done is Tasmania.
Right.
Now, Tasmania, if it's typical, it's a bit normal on a tarred road is 100 or 110.
Right.
But if you're on a dirt road or an unsealed road, uh-huh, the maximum permissible speed is 80 kilometres an hour.
Okay. All right.
Now, I've driven around – I haven't towed around Tasmania. But I've driven around Tasmania, and a lot of those roads are flat out getting to 100 anyway in a car.
Well, I spent
turns and things, so I'd hate to be doing 110 with a caravan on some of those.
I spent 3 months in Tasmania a couple of years ago, and actually next year we're going to be spending about 4 months in Tasmania towing a caravan. And, you're dead set right there. Some of those roads, narrow, windy, steep,
I'd much rather be going up them than coming down some of them, that's for sure. So speed, yeah. No, that doesn't come into the equation for me. I'm here. It's cost me a fortune to be here on the Spirit of Tasmania, so I want to enjoy it and see it all, and yeah, I'm not going to be in a hurry. So definitely.
So I suppose in summary, Phil, like speed can be the enemy. So, look, I think you mentioned a couple of times you're on holiday, so yes. Why are you speeding?
Yes.
If you need to be home, then leave earlier or leave the day before.
Absolutely.
Don't leave it to the last minute. Drive to the conditions.
Yeah.
And just because it says 110 doesn't mean you doesn't can necessarily you do 110
absolutely.
Or yeah. should do 110.
Yeah. Look, that's the important thing. Driving to the conditions is the most important thing. I do see that answer a lot on the forums, you know. People say, oh, you know, what's the speed limit like going out to, say, Birdsville, out to the Big Red Bash? You know, what's the speed limit? What can I do out there? And most of the answers are drive to the conditions, you know, because I've been out there and I went out there and back and had no issues. Friends that were with us in a hurry damaged their car, blew out their tires, busted a windscreen. You really have to pay a lot of common sense, and that's what it comes down to. Don't just see a sign and go for it, you know.
I mean, speed is the enemy from the point of view is when things go wrong.
Yes.
It's the one force that you have to overcome.
Yes.
You know, whether it's by braking or by turning or by whatever. So speed is something you just can't change at a moment's notice. So, look, don't overtake unless you really have to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't overtake trucks, my blanket advice, they're at work, you're not.
Yes.
No need to overtake them. You know, if you're stuck behind a road train or something, you know, pull over and have a cup of tea.
Good advice. Good advice. I love it.
I know I wasn't actually towing at the time, but I had a little Corolla and I was driving up the back of Queensland to Townsville to go to the car races.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed this, you know, triple road train for a couple of Ks and I'd, you know, have a bit of a look out and he was sitting on his 100 and I'd have a couple of look and I could see for a long way and I thought, oh, okay, well, yeah, I could overtake him. So, you know, whack it down a gear and put the foot down and I get almost up to the cabin and there's a, you know, big four-wheel drive and a caravan in front of him.
Oh.
So he's got a C. So, you know, you've overtaken the triple and then I had to overtake the caravan and the vehicle because
yes.
there's not enough space to duck in behind them.
Wow.
So, you know, when you're overtaking, you know, these big trucks, you don't know what's in front of them.
No.
And, you know, you might calculate that you've got enough time to get around the truck, but what if there's a caravan and a vehicle or another truck in front of them?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very good advice, Jeff. Very good advice. So,
no worries, Phil.
What are we going to play for you? I think we've wound this one up for this afternoon. What are we going to play in relation to this segment?
Well, I suppose this could come back to my pay. What about me? My moving pictures.
What about me, your pay? Okay, look, how about a fridge magnet, a stubby cooler, and a bumper sticker? That's three times what you're getting now. We'll have to think about it.
You'll have to. Roman Oz, mate, they must be worth a fortune. They'd be good collector's
items. Absolutely. They'd be worth something. You'll see them in every market stall soon. All right, listeners, there we go. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeff. Jeff Diath, listeners from Checkweight.
Thanks, Phil. Travel safe and enjoy the road.
All right, listeners, we're going to do all of those things, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after Moving Pictures, What About Me?
There's a little boy waiting at the counter of a corner shop. He's been waiting down there, waiting half a day. They never ever see him from the top. He gets pushed around, knocked to the ground. He gets to his feet and he says, "What?" There's a pretty girl serving at the counter of a corner shop. She's been waiting back there, waiting for a dream. Her dreams walk in and that they never stop. Well, she's not too proud to cry out loud. She runs to the street and she screams, what about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough, now I want my share. Can't you see? I want to live. If you just take more than you give, more than now I'm standing on the corner, all the world's gone home. Nobody's changed, nobody's been saved.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or RomanOz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.